Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q4 and fiscal year 2026 earnings call for Exato Technologies Limited. Thank you for joining us today. This call will cover the company's operational and financial performance, followed by an update on strategic priorities going forward. Please note that certain statements made during the call may be forward-looking in nature, based on management's current expectations and assumptions. These statements are subject to risk, and participants are advised to exercise due caution and not place undue reliance on such statements. This call is being recorded for compliance purposes. Representing Exato Technologies Limited on today's call are Mr. Apurva Sinha, Chairman and Managing Director; Mr. Naveen Krishna, Chief Revenue Officer; Mr. Gopinath Ballu, Chief Operating Officer; Mr. Muralidharan, Chief AI Officer; Mr. Dinesh Singh Salathiya, President, Revenue, Marketing, and Strategic Alliances; Mr. Hassan, Chief Financial Officer; Mrs. Geeta Jain, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. I would now invite the management team to share their opening remarks. We will subsequently open the floor for Q&A session. Over to you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all the people on this call and our extended family and fraternity for this time. Would like to start this call with giving you a brief summary how the year went, and then probably we'll take you through this presentation, which covers in detail. I also have my colleagues on this call, like Mr. Naveen Krishna, who is joined us as a Chief Revenue Officer. Murali Menon has joined us as a Chief AI Officer, and then my colleague Gopi as Chief Operating Officer, along with Dinesh, Geeta Ji, and Hassan. We'll talk about together we will talk about Exato's journey for the last financial year and what is the way ahead. Starting with the summary, say this year has been pretty good. Our revenue from operations grew by almost 35% to 168 crore, and PAT has also significantly grown by 67 more than 67% to 16.09 crore. PAT margin has improved from 7.7% to 9.5% with a revenue growth, which is a significant achievement. As you all will know that we got listed on 5th of December, so we have been investing significantly to build the future prospect and to scale our operations in international geographies. Few orders which we got during the year and probably in JFM was a highlight of the work which we have done. We have started our Australia subsidiary also this financial year. Apart from this, we also had a senior person in US, and then we have also been investing in our AI-led IP platform. I would like to introduce Mr. Murali Menon. He has joined us from TCS. He was a CTO of TCS. He will lead our AI initiative, AI as a service, as well as our IP product. This signifies our commitment towards market for AI-led initiatives. We are also planning a partnership with large AI companies, which we will announce in subsequent time. As you know that customer experience has been our forte, but with customer experience and AI, we have been able to demonstrate. In fact, we got two orders on agentic AI platform also, which is already there. One order is currently in delivery stage, and the second one is already booked. That was a part of previous financial year. Also to expand our global footprint, I talked about we have been investing heavily in international region. The idea is major part of revenue contribution should come from international geographies. Basically, this financial year, especially the last quarter, was very important for us because we wanted to establish our global leadership team. We got Naveen Krishna joining us as a Chief Revenue Officer. I already spoke about Murali Menon as a Chief AI Officer, and Gopi, who was our CTO, now he's elevated as a Chief Operating Officer. The idea is to build a global team which can so that we can take it to international customers. And the work which we have been doing well with India as well as some international customer, how this can be significantly expanded. This year was a year of recognition. We were APAC Partner of the Year for our major OEM partners. We also got some milestone in terms of major awards. And as we look the financial year ahead, there is a strong foundation and a very strong leadership team already built on which we are banking on. So with this, I would like to start the presentation. This was just a summary from my side in the roadside. I will take you in detail, and I would also request the extended team, the leadership team, to talk about their input and their contribution, which we will discuss in subsequent slides. So starting with company snapshot, so some of you would be aware, so we have been serving more than 150+ customers, 100+ engineers. Our base has been expanded, so we have been now delivering close to 150,000+ agents. So we have been enabling, serving more than 10+ countries. And we are now having 4 subsidiaries. Australia subsidiary also got added last year. So journey I have been discussed. So we completed our 10th year on 18th of May. So it was 10 years. We are now a decade old. And as you have progressed our journey, so the journey has been pretty good. In fact, as you see the increase in revenue and the expansion, and also opening Australia subsidiary as well as expanding in international geographies, that signifies that how we are have our bigger international plan. Also wanted to highlight that we got a record subscription on Bombay Stock Exchange for any IT SME company. Still, this is still a record, the kind of subscription which we got. And that also gives us a big responsibility to perform. And that is the reason we have been investing heavily in building the leadership team as well as the international region. So this is a promoter team. So I founded Exato along with me. My wife Swati looks after HR and operations. I would like to share on this call, we are deeply honored to have Dr. Milind Godbole as one of the board of director. He got appointed yesterday. So Dr. Godbole is a very significant addition to Exato family, and he has a proven track record of scaling organization. So he was a CEO and managing director at one of the healthcare BPO in a sector where we have lot of potential. So we got him on board to seek his guidance. And so he has been in leadership role with Aditya Birla Minacs and with Emphasis, which is a HP company. He has been several recognitions, and he got a PhD also in his name. So with Dr. MG, the idea is how we can gain from his experience, how he transformed these companies in their leadership role, and how we can set up processes, how we can expand internationally, add more and more customers, how we can create those new revenue streams, how we can further diversify in terms of vertical. And he has been also a very good knowledge on AI side, on healthcare side, on global market access side. So how we can gain from his experience and expand our footprint. Now, further, I would like to introduce our leadership team. So starting with Gopi. So Gopi has been with us for a long time now. So I would request Gopi to add 2 lines here, and then we'll move to Naveen, and then we'll move to Murli.
Okay. Hi, good evening, everyone. thank you so much for the opportunity here to present our earnings and the details. I've been with in this industry, specifically CX industry, for about 30 years now, and came up from the background of implementing the solutions and migration, larger transformational opportunities and so forth. And incidentally, the platform, what we are selling now, positioning to the customer, I was part of the product engineering division as well for them, which is the nice platform, what you guys hear from us many times in larger transformation deals that we are doing. So I've been in the industry for quite a long, and it's an opportunity for now to scale our organization to international as well as Americas in the region. Extensive work experience, about 15 to 20 years experience that I have with for the US region transformation also. So that's the background that I come with. And working with Apoorv and team to make it to the next level for Xatem. Thank you.
Naveen, over to you.
Hi, good evening everyone. Naveen Krishna Desai. I come with about 30+ years of experience in the global markets, specifically in the new geography expansion, new logo acquisition strategy, and devising go-to-market approach for organizations expanding into the newer geographies. I've also had experience in creating practice plays across IT outsourcing and finance and accounting outsourcing, thereby being fortunate enough in the market with 30+ years of experience in managing very diverse portfolios across North America, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, Middle East, and also significantly India as a portion. With that, the industry exposure also gave me an opportunity to very thoroughly understand and deep dive into 5 to 6 major industry verticals, including healthcare, automotive, retail, etc. With that, I'm really, really looking forward for making the journey happen. We are pretty aggressive in terms of our international expansion and approach to that effect. So exciting days ahead.
Thanks, Murali. Over to you.
Good evening, all. My name is Murali. I've been a part of the past 21 years with TCS. I've been responsible for starting up the CX practices as well as the infrastructure practices within the TCS. And most recently, I've been involved in setting up the AI infrastructure practices across verticals, across regions globally. Also, involved in bringing up the state-of-the-art AI technology centers of excellence, bringing in innovation, creating intellectual property, products, and platforms across infrastructure services and BPS in TCS. Very happy to be a part of this very good team and look forward to taking this forward. And I will also cover some of these areas during the subsequent slides in this presentation. Thank you very much. Back to you, Apoorv.
Okay, thanks, Murali. So just wanted to share about our leadership team. So the addition of both Naveen and Murali is very, very important in terms of our international market expansion. And with Gopi's elevation as a Chief Operating Officer, the idea is how we can be more in front of customers, giving them confidence with this experienced leadership team, and how we can work a global delivery model based out of India and sell more in the international region. So with this, I also would like to highlight our strong finance team, who's there in the room with me, Hasan, our CFO, Geeta Jain is our Company Secretary, and Dinesh leading our marketing and global business development for us. So in terms of our solution and global presence, so like I mentioned, we have 4 subsidiaries. Out of this, 3 subsidiaries are international subsidiaries. One is our US subsidiary. So this year, we have big plans for US expansion. US is a key market for us. And as most of you will know, we already have a presence in US with close to close to a dozen customers. Now, the idea is how we can expand big in this year and also set a strong foothold for subsequent years. So US is going to be a very important part of our geography. Australia is the new addition. So we see a significant potential because some of the good work which we want to do in India and US can be easily replicated in Australia. And so in Singapore, we have another subsidiary. Apart from this, we also have another subsidiary called Xato Infotech, which is primarily from our telecom work perspective, cloud hosting, etc. So that also we have. So total 4 subsidiaries. Out of these, 3 are international subsidiaries. In terms of comprehensive solutions, so CX in analytics has been our strong forte, serving more than 150+ customers. A majority of customers have come from this domain, and we have been the biggest partner for some of the global companies. In fact, the idea is whatever we are doing at global scale, how we can partner with them, learn them, and how we can implement some of the best solutions and create some of the best solutions. And now with this leadership team, we have quite strong confidence in that as well. So CX as a service has been a strong forte for us. Conversational AI, agentic AI is something which we have been doing significantly. Automation, workforce management, and cloud ERP, we also have a decent presence. We have a big plans with respect to ERP, which we will cover in subsequent slides, and we are also looking at how we can expand big with respect to these solutions in the international market. Now, our second line of business is unified communication and infrastructure, wherein we again work with global companies. With AI, infrastructure is also going to be a strong play. So we are working with several enterprises where there could be larger deals, which is expected. So working with these large banks and some of these institutions, the idea is how we can take that piece as a bundled piece to the customers, and we can secure a good top line. Now, the third line of business is our own proprietary platform, Xaato IQ. We had a senior leadership team who has been driving this, and we have built some of the product and already deployed with customers like HDFC Bank, Axis Bank, TaskUs, etc. Now, with this product, we want to have a very strong AI enablement. We are also planning some AI partnership for which Murali is on board to lead this as a Chief AI Officer. So this is another LOB which we want to strengthen. In fact, we have been doing some 2-3% of revenue, but the idea is in the next 3-4 years, how 20-30% of revenue as well as profitability should come from this LOB. So we have been investing significantly in our own IP platform, learning from the best and then replicating that. That's the motto. Okay, so comprehensive solutions. I talked about CX as a service, wherein we offer omnichannel contact center, customer journey design, and how platform monitoring, etc., can be done. For conversational AI chatbot and voice bot and multilingual and context conversations. For automation as a service, working with back office and front office, and how AI-driven quality and compliance monitoring can be delivered. Workforce management, we have very large customers, so working with them for forecasting and scheduling. So all these are part of our CX and analytics offering. Apart from this, a cloud-based ERP partnership, which we have built last year, that is also giving us good results. We closed two deals in this financial year, in March financial year, and we have a significant pipeline in coming year, the current financial year. For unified communication and infrastructure, we are eyeing some larger opportunities, and we have worked quite hopeful that this will add significantly to the revenue in this financial year. And Xaato IQ, as I just shared, so we are building this AI-powered platform, AI-powered tool, and the idea is how we can take it to our customer base, wherein this can give us good bottom line. That's the thought process. These are some of the marquee clients. So I keep talking about 150-plus customers. So here I have listed some 60, 80 customers. The idea, if you see all of these banks, they have budget in thousands of crores. While we are successful in terms of doing some multi-crore business with them, but the idea is with this global leadership team, how we can expand footprint with these customers. Same goes with our BPO customer. The advantage with these BPO customers is they have global presence. While most of the customers we deal from India, but majority of these customers have their base in U.S. also. So with Naveen coming on board and leading our international charter, idea is how we can work with these customers and identify new customers, which can be a source of revenue for us, primarily in U.S. region, also to add Singapore and Australia region. And then we have a diversified customer base. If you see the biggies like Reliance, Jio, Vodafone, Accenture, Wipro, TCS, Tech Mahindra, we have been working with all of them. In fact, Interglobe Technologies, IGT, which is a listed company, that is also a part of our customer forte. So very strong clientele and a very strong order book. In fact, we have an order book of 600 crore. Out of this, it's a very active order book. Some 230 crore, 235 crore has been executed, and 330 crore is yet to be executed, which will be executed. So we have a very strong ARR, average recurring revenue, which has been growing since last 3 years. So in fact, last year it was close to 60-65 crore, which has grown to around 118 crore this year. We further, as we expand big in international market with these customers and with new customers, we further plan to add significantly on the ARR side as well. That's right. We have some global partnership. The idea with this partnership are these are well-known name in our domain, and working with them gives lot of strength and comfort to our customers also, because they are strong brands. And this also in a way justifies our strategy that we ride along with them and acquire customer, and then we go deep with the customer with more offerings, and we do our own consulting and implementation. So that is giving a strong footprint. But the idea is with further addition and leadership team, how we can do more and more. So this year we plan to add multi-managed services account. We already closed 172 crore deal on 31st of March, which was a managed services deal for us. So we would like to lead it. Basically, managed services means a customer is willing to outsource the entire technology to us, and it is up to us to decide what technology we want to deploy, but entire ownership is ours. So we plan to move to more managed services kind of thing, and that is one of the strategy with Murali, Naveen, and Gopi, our CIO, CRO, and CEO, we are devising. So BFSI has been our strong forte, so is healthcare. In fact, we have two large customers, one 130 crore contract, another with close to 95 crore contract. Apart from this, we have a diversified base like telecom, manufacturing, IT, ITS, BPO, and retail. So we have customers from all the line of business. So we have a global footprint. As I mentioned, we have 10 plus locations where we have been delivering from India. Focus this year could be more on US as well as UK, Singapore, and Australia. APAC and Middle East, we are devising a strategy. We wanted to establish earlier presence in the Middle East, but because of ongoing tensions, we are just watching this cautiously. But we may look at some of the opportunities driving from India, and later we can expand. So in terms of our strategic growth roadmap, if you see, I talked about revenue from operations increasing close to 35-36% to 168 crore, and PAT also growing 67% to 16.09 crore. So this shows that we are on growth track. While we invested heavily and aggressively in terms of our footprint, still we are doing well with respect to our PAT numbers. And the reason of this investment are we were a profitable company, but the listing, the credibility which we have gained, and the funding which we have raised, the idea was how we can expand big in international geography. In fact, with respect to global GTM, we are already working with our plan with our Chief Revenue Officer Naveen, and how we can increase a base from 150 to 500, 600, 700 customers in next 3-4 years, and how we can deepen our focus in some of the selected verticals, which will be a core focus vertical in BFSI, like BFSI, healthcare, etc. While we talk all about this, AI is going to be a very strong play. We are eyeing a partnership with a very large AI partner. The idea is again the same, that how we can take this AI as a service offering to our existing customers as well as to new customers. Now, ERP is another line of business. We already have created some presence with Acumatica partnership, but we also are eyeing for how we can do a hyper growth in this segment, because this is going to be a very sustainable market and a very profitable one also. So we are working with some extended partners, and we are also looking at some inorganic growth, some acquisitions possible in this domain. So we are talking to some companies, but that's in a very initial stage. So that's the reason, but we will share more details in coming quarters. Now, in IP and product development, as I talked about, we have allocated certain budget out of the funding which we have raised, and we are aggressively working how to launch some of these platforms. Murali, who is our Chief AI Officer, has a significant role to play. The team who has currently built it, some platform which is already sold to SDFC and TaskUs and Axis, etc. But the idea is how we can make it into a global product, and how we can take it to extended market with more and more feature and functionality. So global AI as a service market, Murali would like to cover this?
Sure. So definitely, as we all know, the artificial AI and artificial intelligence has definitely resulted in creating a very civilizational shift in the industry. and that everyone knows and everybody is gearing up to address that. While on that topic, while AI is doing very well in the industry globally, there are also certain apprehensions which customers have. So one of the bigger apprehensions is the trust in AI, the trust in infrastructure, the trust in the LLMs, and the trust in the data, what they have. So those are some of the apprehensions the industry has got. While these are apprehensions, it gives us a very good opportunity for services organizations who are providing AI solutions and also trusted partners such as Xato to scale up and cross these trusts and give these our customers a good environment to work. That being said, there's also a very good opportunity that AI brings in a level playing field for all the service providers. And all of the digital natives and born AI organizations are very well positioned to grasp this opportunity and bring in the transformative solutions to the customers. And one of the other very important areas in AI is the lack of talent, the right talent. And that's another area which Xato is also focusing on to build the future talent and also bring in the parameters, what is needed for a future IT services organization to address the current challenges in the industry and scale it as well. So the entire team at Xato is investing. We have made investments in our AI practice. We have set up centers of excellence. We have built up the ecosystems needed to address these challenges. And we are very much geared up to address this and take it forward as a very robust, scalable, and sustainable IT, AI services for this organization. With that, I would like to hand it over back to Apu.
No, thank you so much, Murli, for this insights. In fact, what I wanted to add is one of the reasons why we are looking aggressively in terms of our AI investment is that we got a very strong customer base and every customer has this AI initiative. Like you see that this AI as a service market, global market is going to grow with 31% CAGR. And in fact, India market is also close to 30% CAGR. So how we can have more and more play in this, which is more services enabled. So we are working on certain partnerships and certain strategies so that we can take it to our existing BPO customers or existing BFSI or retail customer and how we can work with them in terms of what bigger play we can have with respect to AI. Now, with this, I also wanted to mention that we already got two agentic AI significant orders from two customers. One is based out of US and another one is based out of UK. So with this, and some of these orders were in public domain also. So the idea is we have started picking order on agentic AI, which is the current focus in the market. Now, how we can build more and more consulting-led practice, consulting-led services, which can add to a decent bottom line also to exactly. So this thought process, we are expanding. Next slide, Dinesh. Okay, so today where Xato stands in terms of, as I talked about, we already have we are an AI CX transformation partner serving 150 plus customers. We have created our presence across India, US, Singapore, and Australia. And we are the biggest partner for some of our large OEMs. Now, industry shift from vertical and enterprises to moving towards to generic tool to a specific AI platform. This is where we want to play a role. We are, as I talked about already about agentic AI and rise of managed services models. We already picked a large order on managed services model and that customer is also willing to give us more opportunity to work with. In fact, he is willing to expose us to their environment wherein we can have a forward deployment engineer. People can work with them and understand that what can be deployed in a real life scenario. With all this and with a lot of investment by customer side in AI, we see a very strong possibility of expanding global footprint. Our IP also having a significant play and with a more and more AI adoption, I think a new market will also open up. While when we were building our IP, we were thinking that this will be primarily for SMEs, but with AI play, I think we will have a much larger base to cater and some decent revenue expectation also we can have. So in terms of our financial performance, for Q4, since you all know that India is the region to work in Q4 because typically IT budget lapses in Q4. So a major part of our revenue has come from domestic region, and like 86% and 14% has come from export. Again, license software has contributed biggest, and the second largest was implementation and consulting services, and then the rest were there. While I say that we definitely closed some larger opportunities, one was with the healthcare BPO, wherein we closed a 95 crore deal, and then another was the 72 crore deal, which we booked it. We were not able to bill it. But then there were new orders which has come from some existing customers, which added significantly to both revenue and profitability. Our global reach has been there. So in fact, if you see, so our U.K. region has grown significantly, while U.S. also contributed, but this year we expect a major contribution coming from U.S. region. BPO ITS has been our strong forte, followed by healthcare and BFSI. So this is where we are with respect to revenue bifurcation. And in terms of, so this is already we have covered, Dinesh. So in terms of financial snapshot, if I just wanted to give a four-year snapshot. If you see our CAGR with respect to revenue has been growing significantly. We were at 72 crore, and now we have almost more than double. So it is 168 crore wherein we closed. So our CAGR has been around 32.17%. EBITDA and margin has also grown in last 4 years. In fact, the CAGR for EBITDA margin has been 60%, and PAT has also grown significantly, so 47.14%. Now, one data which I would like to highlight here is, since we are talking about four-year data, which was 2022-2023. So in 2022-2023, our ARR was close to 20 crore, which was primarily coming from one or two customers. But from 20 crore to 120 crore average recurring revenue, and this number is going to continue for next 3-4 years as per the current order book. While we work, we will work aggressively hard in this financial year. We expect this to grow, but if we do nothing also, 125 crore of order billing for next 3 years is secured. So that shows a strong strength in our business, strong sustainability. Obviously, with respect to AI and with respect to our international investment and leadership team on board, we see lot of potential. Now, our long-term borrowing has also decreased because so with some of the IPO fund, we have cut down the debt, which is also a significant milestone. And with respect to net worth, this has also increased significantly. In terms of our P&L statement, like if you see, so Q4 has been our revenue has grown in Q4. EBITDA margin was bit down. The prime reason is we have expanded heavily in U.S., so there has been a significant investment which has gone in U.S., and we have expanded heavily in Australia. So we hired senior folks there, and there was a significant. But we expect a good result out of this investment. Then we have been sponsoring and being part of some industry event because that is where we get customers. So we've were there in Acumatica global event, then we were in London, Spain, for a customer event. Then we also had, so I was traveling to U.S. for some 2-3 weeks. So all this is travel and hiring, and then we got our leadership team in place. Then we got built a global business development team. We are building our center of excellence. So there has been some investment. The idea of this fundraise was how we can expand bigger in international market. For that, we are investing, and we will continue to invest. But there is a good return expected in one or two quarters because typically the sales cycle is  3-4 months, so we see a good return. However, if I talk about the overall growth with respect to the year, as I mentioned, the PAT margin has increased from 7.77% to 9.58%, and PAT has increased from 9.65 crore to 16.09 crore, which is almost 67% increase. So this shows overall good strong financial performance year-on-year. And with this investment, which I talked about, the performance is much better expected in this year and coming years. So this is with respect to balance sheet. And again, as I talked about in terms of our equity and liabilities and current asset and all that, and our revenue contribution. So we have significant improvement in all of the aspect, and we see a strong growth in coming quarters as well. So strategic investment, which is driving future growth. So like I mentioned, that our PAT has increased 67%. Net margin has expanded from 7.77% to 9.58%. Our order book has grown significantly. I mentioned about 20 crore to 120 crore, 123 crore in 4 years. So we have a very strong order book. When I say order book, we have long-term contracts from customers. Generally, we pick 5-year deals, and sometimes if there is 3-year deal, most of these 3 or 5-year deal is renewable. But that order book gives us a very strong strength and ability to expand, because then that's how we think big. That if we have this much order in hand, we can go to other customers and we can deploy the profit and we can scale the operation, and probably we can look at organic growth and create more international presence. And that is how we plan to grow in coming years also. So like I mentioned about, we have established subsidiaries. We have now a new senior leadership team has joined across global locations we have. So we have a team in US, team in Australia. We have our CRO here in India, Bangalore. We have our chief AI officer in Chennai, Gopi, who's our CEO, is also based in Chennai. So idea is how we can create a model wherein sell more in international region and deliver more from India. We have been participating in industry event, and that has been resulting in some very good opportunities, very good customer alignment, because the customer references matters a lot. And basis existing partnership with our OEM and customer, our idea is how we can expand with respect to our consulting and services offering as well. So we have a plan to increase so to capture this entire AI gamut, not only AI as a software, AI as a service, but also how we can look at the hardware portion also. Because as you all know, that there is going to be a significant investment in data centers. Every customer is going to have their AI strategy. So they will look for a vendor who is more enabled, not only from software or consulting side, but also who can give a complete package deal. So that is the reason we are also focusing on how we can build an infrastructure practice. We already have an infrastructure practice, unified communication infrastructure, but how we can further strengthen it. So both organic and inorganic growth is the plan, and that will also add significant value to the top line. So that's how we see in terms of strategic investment and driving future growth. So in terms of Gopi, would you like to take this?
Yeah. So thanks for that, Apoorv. So the way we started this year, I think all the aspects what is required and amenities which are required are all in place, and we completed the last year as far as of March. April onwards, we started our new year, and accordingly, the annual operating plan was established. So you would have heard so far about some point solutions that we used to do and individual solution set that we used to provide to the customer. But now we have designed it into a business solutions where we have a partnership with the OEM for the contact center solution what we provide. Likewise, we partnered for the BFSI sector treasury solution with Mitel, and we had the ERP in place, the Actimate ERP that we are selling. That's a partnership that we are driving. Now, so we did a 3-day operating plan across the geography to make it as a blended solution now to go back to the customer. It's a business-oriented solution rather than going back to the customer and say, what problem do you have? Right? So we know that industry has a problem and how we can do AI solutions. You heard from Murali, he's here to make the AI happen. So when we say AI happen, we are not talking about going to the customer and talking about AI as a concept. We are going back to them with a specific use case which they want to solve, how our solution is a best fit into it, and then how we will solve it end to end. Right? And that's the reason we are going back with point solution in the support to now our entire managed services. Right? So that is how we are changing our image in the market. So on that operating model, we discussed 3 days into our existing account, what we can do, what more we can do with our existing account, how do we increase our wallet share in the existing customer. And second, we focused on certain segmentation that we need to go after. Healthcare and BPOs are our target areas. BFSI, specifically on the insurance segment, we have an extremely strong solution that that we can go after. So that is identified. And along with that, the integrated solution, right? So you sell a contact center, you sell an ERP and a CRM, and we also do an integration and then drive AI on top of it. So that's where our core focus was for about 3 days. Existing customer is one, and the net new customer base is also identified. And then Naveen, as the CRO, comes with his own pedigree, which he carries. So who he can go after, what kind of solution that he can sell. And accordingly, we built that overall plan. So yeah, our plan is to grow by at least 20% plus CAGR, as we are looking at. And it's as part of the market standard, but we are confident we'll do much more on that. Right? So while doing that, I think this is one of the spotlight for us. Last year, with NICE, when we attended the event in Busan, it's a partner event. We won 5 awards. This is the 6th year we are a platinum partner for NICE. So that's the credibility that we carry with NICE. And that's how we are able to establish into all other geographies. US is welcoming, NICE is welcoming us in the US market now. And we are going to showcase that. And second important part is we are the APAC partner of the year. So earlier we were much focused on the India side, but this time we beat everybody in the APAC region itself. Our next year target is to become US partner of the year, and we are targeting that, right? So that's one. On the Mitel side, we were last year we were a gold partner. This year we are my platinum partner as well. So we just got that award from Mitel. So that's the level of interaction that we are doing. So now, while we are doing all these events, our interaction also is to be felt by all others. Even when we are changing, when we are bringing new leaders, our OEMs are also expanding their new leaders and new way of handling business and new way of how AI is transforming the entire scale of thing, right? So AI first is the initiative messaging which has started. So in the interactions event that we have attended, we took some of the customers to these events and we participated. We have a lot of good connects that we have established. Now we are calibrating that and then going after and positioning, selling, and making it happen, right? So that's how we are working on. So this event has helped us in a lot more way. So likewise, on the ERP side, Acumatica events are also happening. So this is an event in Seattle, our team attended, and we continue to get good traction in the region, and participation has given us access to a lot of customers as well as partners that we can work with and make our wallet share more. So this is the overall APAC Business Partner Summit that we attended. So overall, again, one 5 awards is what I talked about. So some of those are the testimonials for how well we are doing it, how well we are recognized within the OEM ecosystem, and how customers are also recognizing us. And more so, it is all portfolio deals which are helping us as a lot more credible and stable environment, which gives us much more stability now to drive faster as we grow along. Thank you, Apur.
Okay, thanks, Gopi. So thanks, everyone, for your time. I will just summarize. So this year was a year of significant achievement and also to lay the foundation for coming years. That was the plan. We ended up year with 35% revenue growth and 67% PAT growth. Order book became more stable. So where we left in December in last call was around 520 crore. We close it at 600 crore order book, 150 plus customers. Again, major part of revenue for if we talk about total financial year, close to 26-27% of revenue coming from international region. But the kind of foundation which we are laying, we expect that there should be a much significant contribution from international region in this particular year itself. Transition to AI and IP-led revenue, the work is an investment are going. So the idea is how we can make it prioritized with Murli as a chief AI officer coming on board. And also the idea is our global expansion, creating subsidiary in Australia and then creating a bigger footprint in US and Singapore, and having Dr. Milind Godbole also as one of our board of directors along with the other people, how we can gain from their vision and strategy and make it big in international region. We continue to we want to continue and in fact enhance our success with respect to OEM partnerships which we have, but at the same time we want to learn what best can be done because in AI a lot of unexpected changes is expected, but our strength is our order book, our strength is our 150 plus customers. That gives us a lot of footprint and a lot of strong foothold in the current scenario. That also gives us a reason to diversify. That is the reason we are diversifying with ERP. That is the reason we are looking at more AI and AI as a service. I mentioned that we are looking at some large AI companies to partner with for LLM and for the complete GTM, which Murli also talked about. So that's what our chief AI officer's plan is. So with this strong visibility, revenue visibility and scalable business model, we are eyeing this financial year. That the foundation which was led in Q4, the investment which was led, this is going to be much better year than all the previous years, both in terms of revenue and profitability. So with this, I would like to thank everyone on this call, all the investors and all the people. Thank you so much for your time. This is the closer remark from my side. We shall be open for any questions. Thanks, FinPortal team. Yes.
Thank you to the management team for those comprehensive opening remarks. We will now proceed to Q&A session. Participants wishing to ask a question are requested to use the raise hand feature. We will take the first question from Mr. Amit Jain.
Hi, good evening, everyone. It was a really nice presentation and congratulations for your financial detail. I have a question, I think, for CFO, because this is related to financial only. So my question is, why is increase in purchase of software and hardware? So let me put with respect to the percentage, it is almost 81%. In previous period, it was 67%. So it is significant in terms of percentage where your revenue is going up. So obviously, you should have benefit of economies of scale. Rather than that, there is a significant percentage-wide increase, which impacted the Q4 results significantly.
Okay, so Amit, I would like to take this question because this is also related to business. See, as I mentioned in my presentation, so we have picked some AI infrastructure. This is an echo happening. We have picked some AI infrastructure deals, and that is the reason you see a cost of purchase is a bit higher. Now, there is a strategy behind this. We don't want to, in this AI game, we just don't want to limit ourselves to AI software or AI services. Rather, there is an infrastructure portion. And if you see a major investment coming from Google and all Adani and Reliance, everyone talking about a large data center coming up. So this opens a huge opportunity for companies like us also. So we are looking to create a new line of business. So far, we have been doing with respect to our existing customers, but new line of business, which can give us significant top line and a reasonable bottom line. Why I'm saying reasonable bottom line is obviously in hardware deals, the bottom line is slightly lesser, but that is not so, I would say, stretchable, because that is very ease of delivery. You deploy, you install, and then you come out. And the cycle is also very short. So that is the reason you see a cost of purchase more. But it was a strategic business decision that we want to diversify, not only in terms of our AI as a service or CX as a service, but also in terms of hardware.
But if it is infrastructure code, it should be capitalized. Now, why it is coming into
no,
revenue?
We are buying and selling it to customers. So this cannot be capitalized. This is for customer.
So if you are buying and selling it to the customer, then it can't increase it to 81%. Now, then you'll be doing the markup on that. Am I right?
You are right. But as I said, that our software as a services revenue vis-a-vis the hardware purchase which we had was a bit higher in Q4, because some of these customers wanted to utilize their IT budget. So it was more on that side. That is the reason you see cost of purchase. In fact, some of the license purchase also, which you see, it was primarily from that reason that they wanted to utilize their budget. So that is the reason you see cost of purchase high.
So basically, even the purchase of hardware and software which you provide to the customer, you bill it to them with a markup, it's part of a direct revenue. So here I can say that, I don't know. So it basically, the margin was too less, means whatever you get extra revenue, the margin was too less in such that one-time purchase of the hardware and software.
So, Amit, you are right in saying, but this is a strategic decision, because please understand, initially what happens, we do not have an established infrastructure business, hardware, software business. We used to do before COVID, but we used to have Cisco practice, we used to have a HP partnership. Now we want to do it again, because Murli comes from that background. So he was CX and he was a CTO of a vertical of TCS, wherein he was managing infrastructure vertical. Now we are planning to have this as a dedicated vertical. But when we have a dedicated vertical and bigger business pie with these OEM partners like HP and Cisco, they will fetch us good margin. If we do transactional deal, the margin is going to be less. That's the crux of the issue.
Could you tell me about the guidance also for the 26? What you are guiding for the revenue and PAT?
See, we are expecting increase of 50-60% both on revenue side as well as on PAT side. The reason is very simple. We want to focus more on international geography. The foundation has been led. And the leadership team, which you see, which you talked about on this call, is everyone has an excellent international exposure. So these were one of the things while we partnered, everyone collaborated and came together is, and I'm very glad that we have people like Naveen and Murli on board. So there is going to be a huge contribution in international geography. As you understand that the deal size are quite bigger and the profitability is also higher. And since we will be delivering from India, also in hybrid model, so both profitability and revenue, we can see a significant jump. So 50-60% is the minimum. We can do more.
Okay, thank you very much, and all the best to everyone.
Thank you so much, Amit.
We will take next question from Vilroy Lewis.
Yeah.
Sir, can we hit 500 crore in next 2 years?
So, I want to be very, very honest with you. So we have both organic and inorganic growth plan. And while few things are under NDA, which is in shape, I will like to have a very formal announcement once that is done. But definitely, that is also in my wish list, Vilra. And that is possible also.
Okay, thank you, sir.
We will take next question from Mahesh Soni.
Hi, team. Are you guys able to hear me?
Yeah, Mahesh, we can hear you.
All right. Has Exacto management taken initiatives to engage more investors, and especially long-term investors, to ensure the company is on investors' radar, like the no deal roadshows that the other companies do? So basically, based on the publicly available data for Exacto, the number of shareholders have declined from around 700 to 500. So how does the management view the implication for liquidity valuation? What actions are you guys taking? Just invest, increase the investor base and improve
Okay, so
market
my
power.
Mahesh, if you have seen, so and you also know the pattern. So typically, there is a lock-in period for certain investors, and that some kind of profit booking happens. Although I would not like to comment this publicly, but that is what the pattern is. I'm just talking about the pattern. Now, if you know the data, you will also know that some important investors have increased their stake. All this is the public data, so you can understand the confidence of the key and marquee investors, and that's how you can rely. In terms of engaging more investors, see, one is we just got listed 4 or 5 months back, so the focus is more on building the business, and that is where we have been working, and the leadership team is getting on board. Having said that, declaring quarter on quarter result, the idea is to have a very transparency and information, and in fact, SME company, if you know, the guideline is 6 months, but we have taken that responsibility, and that it and it is not an easy responsibility, because every 3 months we have to do so much preparation and all that, and also there is a pressure on us to perform. So the idea is how we can give that positive outlook to our investors. Now, to just to answer your point, we are a profitable company ourselves. You have seen our PAT growing. We have a significant investment already there, which is probably in FD. So we are eyeing for some organic growth, also some acquisitions. So at that moment, probably it will be the right time to look at some more investors. But as of now, as I said, that focus is to more build the business and create a positive environment so that organic investor can associate themselves.
So my question was not that we need more funds. I totally trust the management, and I myself am invested in the company. I love the management and the business. My question was more on the front that the price discovery, I feel the business is highly undervalued. I personally feel, I may be wrong, probably the market doesn't feel that way, but improving market participants can discover the stock price in a better way. I am sure you guys are working on the business part of it, but if there is a team that can participate with more investors like the big companies do. So the question was more on that front. I'm sure we don't need money for growth.
Mahesh, we keep doing that. Our PR agency keeps doing that, and there is a regular information and sometimes monthly investor calls also, which is happening. And apart from that, we are engaging with investors, but that is with respect to some strategic initiatives, strategic deals. So yes, to answer you, yes, we are doing that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Okay, thanks, Mahesh.
We'll take next question from Varun Singh Thakur.
Kausal from Vega, I think name must be wrong there for some reasons. First of all, very, very congratulations for the numbers that we have achieved. I just wanted to understand a few things. You have mentioned that you are planning to increase the target customer size from 150 to around 500, 600 with there is an expense management in the US and Australia. So I just want to understand what are the challenges we can face, and second thing, what is the time period we are targeting for achieving these
Okay,
numbers of sales?
so Varun, like any other SME company, we also have aspiration to move to main board in next 3 years. That is the timeline we are targeting. Now, with this, our international expansion, we are not only looking at larger enterprise, but there is a SMB market also in international geographies, which can give us good value. So with existing customer and with more AI-led offering, we see a huge potential working with those customers delivering from India. That's how we plan to grow our base. Now, the second aspect is our IP. So the IP which we are building, there will be a volume which will be coming in terms of customers. So that is also our addition. So with these two, three, and we are with Murali coming on board as a Chief AI Officer, we are also looking to add more and more partnerships. The partnership which can complement existing business and the partnership which can fetch us new customers. Now, existing business also has a huge potential. The numbers which we are doing can triple or can go 4 to 5 times if we plan very strategically, because a lot of things has changed for every customer post this AI era. And every customer has an AI initiative, and only limited people understand what to do. Now we are doing this since last 10, 12 years. AI was always there. The AI is nothing new. It was in form of analytics, and then in form of it was evolving. So now in this scene, the idea of getting a very senior person who was a CTO of TCS and driving this is we want to acquire new customers, build platform from services to platform-led, build more and more consulting-led services. So some of these managed services opportunity, we are targeting that, how we can focus on certain accounts and get managed services deal like we got from this US customer, which we booked it on 31st of March. Now, all this will help us with new customer acquisition and new customer expansion. We also established a global business development team. So Dinesh, who manages our marketing, he's also building an inside sales team. So close to 20 people as a part of his team will be working day and night, and probably more in night hours, and using all those tools like LinkedIn, Lusha, et cetera, for lead generation. And then we will pass on to feet on street. So that is a way. So not only building a hybrid delivery model, but hybrid sales model also. And then as we see more and more opportunities coming, we will have more feet on street in international geographies. So just to summarize, we are strengthening the partnership model. We are going more deeper with customer. We are also pushing to get the IP go live at the earliest, however it will take some months, and then the senior leadership team, primarily on sales side, which you see, has been on board to expand more in international geography. So all this will get us good set of customers.
That's good. That's good. I just want to understand one thing, like in how many years, or what is the vision? Like in 3-4 years, we're going to achieve this 500 numbers of customers, or like what exactly?
That's the target for him. That's the target.
3 to 4 years.
Yes.
Okay. And one last thing I just want to understand. There is somewhere around 380 crore order which we have in hand right now out of the 600 crore order book. So how much we going to achieve in this current financial year? Like, if you can just give some number. Like,
so out of this 380 number. Out of this 380, okay, so this financial year, out of this, close to 30-35% will be billed, and the rest will be for next 2-3 years. That's how it. I'm talking about the current order book. There will be,
yeah, kind of.
But apart from this, as I talked about 50-60% of revenue growth, the revenue growth will be much more than that. We have taken a higher target for ourselves, but for market outlook, we are saying that 50-60% of revenue growth, in fact, better revenue growth and better PAT growth we are expecting.
Okay, I think I have been answered all the questions. Thank you. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thanks, Varun.
We will take next question from Mr. Nikhil.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, Nikhil.
Sir, in the current year, what percentage of your revenues have come from exports? And going down the line, in the next financial year and the next 2-3 years, how much can this export revenue percentage go up?
So current year, our close to 28-30% has come from exports, Nikhil. We want to increase it to 50-55% in next 2 years. That's what the thought process is.
Okay, so a follow up question on that. How much is the margins? What are the margins that you clock in exports, and compared to domestic revenues, how much is the delta that you get in exports?
So in domestic, the gross margin anywhere lies between 22-24%. In international, the gross margin is around 30-35%.
So, sir, then does that mean that your PAT growth should be higher than the revenue growth, right? Going down the line the next few years, because you're expecting more from the export markets.
Absolutely, it is going to be higher. I've just given a normal guidance, but as I said that I'm quite hopeful that the revenue and PAT guidance which I've given, it is going to grow much more than that. Apart from that, there is a strategy that we want to venture more and more with respect to services. I talked about managed services account, so that is also going to increase PAT. Also, as we talked about some larger partnership with respect to AI, so AI as a service will also going to contribute strongly on PAT. So as a listed company, our focus is going to be on PAT. At the same time, diversifying and having verticals like infrastructure business and all is the top line is also we are strategically thinking how we can add. So in a way, we will compensate whatever the relatively lesser margin from international expansion as well as AI as a service and CX as a service.
And sir, this infrastructure business that you are currently pursuing in the next few years, how much do you expect that to be a part of your revenues? I mean, any expectation on that?
In next 2 to 3 years, this is going to contribute to around 30 to 35%.
So, sir, then would the margins be lower in infrastructure? That
No, because our managed services, our IP will compensate that, and our international expansion will compensate that. And as we grow big with partners, so I'm not sure what kind of so you might be knowing this, infrastructure business is not a low margin business. It depends how much control you have on customers. I have seen 30 to 40% margin domestically when we were doing Cisco business. It is how if whether you stitch the RFP, you work with customer, and if I talk about AI as a service, suppose if I get to work with a bank and I work with bank and say that I will build your entire AI as a service infrastructure. Apart from this, I want a certain hardware portion, but and I will give you some 30 people who will be trained on AI. And apart from that, I will give you agentic AI platform. If you create that kind of deal, and with this leadership team, the expectation is that only. So perhaps we were not, we had a limited time, but Murli was the one who grew this entire infrastructure business of TCS from scratch to close to 2 billion. So this is the kind of people we have. And then I talked about other people. So idea is that how we can look at some of the strategic customers. This is strategic customers could be new customer, could be existing customer. And if we manage it very well, and if we look at a managed services kind of deal, so the margins can be done well in that side also.
So, sir, just before leaving, just one suggestion for you, sir, or to the management. Sir, I mean, if you actually look at the liquidity in the stock, I mean, please do something about it because, I mean, if you see, even with very thin volume, the stock actually goes down or goes up a lot. So, probably it's just a suggestion that management please look
No.
into it.
So Nikhil, so this is we are in business and we do care about our investors, but I think you will know more than this if we do well with respect to business, and so this all is going to improve, and that is what I can assure you. In previous calls also, there were several discussions around top line. There was also a discussion around investor engagement, and you also understand that we being a larger stakeholder in the overall schema of things, we are quite interested that how investor interest can also be protected. So trust me, everything is being done. Few things are covered under certain compliances, which will come at the right time. But the business outlook is what we can currently explain you, and we are doing really well with respect to that.
Thank you, sir, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you, Nikhil.
We'll take the next question from Bhumika Maheshwari.
Hello. Hi, sir.
Hi, Bhumika,
I have
please.
two, three questions. Since I think it has been answered before, but I wanted a more detail on it. Since we have opened subsidiaries in USA, Singapore, and Australia, what sort of traction are we seeing from these
Your voice is not clear, Bhumika.
are we targeting 3 years?
So Bhumika, sorry,
Hello?
we missed you. There was some gap. Perhaps was it for us or was it for everyone? Can you repeat your question?
Yes, sure. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yes. So we have opened three subsidiaries in USA, Singapore, and Australia. So just wanted to know what sort of traction are we seeing in these places, and where do we see ourselves in next 2 to 3 years from now?
So Bhumika, to answer you, I am expecting in next 2 years, I am expecting 50% of revenue coming from international geographies. Now, in previous call also, this was discussed that if suppose we are establishing an infrastructure practice that gives a top line, so whether that will validate the whatever I am saying, how this is possible. Now, you also understand international geographies, the deal size are quite bigger, as well as the profitability is also higher. Just for example, we closed a $10 million deal in September with a healthcare BPO from US. Now, there was a consultant who was engaged from customer side who was evaluating us. When we closed this deal, consultant said that this would have been a $25 million deal, at least 2.5 times more if this would have was closed in US. So this is the reason we want to expand big in US. Now, it would have been easier for us to open a branch office and operate in US, but we wanted a US identity. This is same across Australia, again, being a closed market, and Singapore. So our plan to have at least 50% of revenue will we and our larger investment going there. Like, we are expanding our footprints, we are getting more and more people in US. We are going to be a part of large event where some 3,000 customers will come. And very smartly, what we have done is we have created a marketing campaign. If you follow us on LinkedIn, you will get to know in next coming days that we are giving them everyone a QR code. And basis QR code, if they fill and answer the customer satisfaction questions, we will get all the details. So you can imagine if we have 2,500 customer database, our inside sales team, which we have with 20 people team, they will do all the calling, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if 10% or 15% of them, we get an initial traction, we have some seasoned leader like Naveen, Murli, Gopi, and myself, who can be in front of customer and talk about all that. Now, with respect to consulting, we are already doing good. We have some very good people internally, as well as we have an extended ecosystem. So altogether, we have 300 years of experience in customer experience domain, and with AI, with the chief AI officer coming, that gives a clear signal to market. So Murli was a CTO of TCS. He joined us as a chief AI officer. He comes with a very strong pedigree. Now he has complete background in terms of how to scale our operations and how create this AI as a service. And every customer is willing to spend more and more dollars on AI. And while few are skeptical, but then we will, as I said, that with our strong pedigree, with reaching out to all these customers and being a part of some of the events, and then creating a strong relationship, and then creating this hybrid model. A major part of revenue, we plan how we can get it from international geography, and this could be very much possible.
Okay, that's great to hear, sir. Second is, what are the macroeconomic challenges that could, impact us with expansion in these geographies?
See, microeconomic challenges could be only the cash flow, because we are aiming for higher growth, but that is something addressable. That is not a major challenge. And so, as you know, that if that kind of numbers which we are targeting, we need to have more and more people. But that also, we have very smart strategy. So we have been discussing this along with the core team that we will probably have a mix of people, senior people as well as freshers whom we can train and all that. Having said that, yes, with large orders, execution is definitely something which also comes with a responsibility. But we got assurance from our key investors, our financial institutions, that if we have a large order book, we should be able to execute it. So that is the only challenge which I see.
Okay, that's great, sir. My last question. We have recently appointed non-executive, non-independent director Milind Godbole. What role will he have in the organization? Since
As
he
of
comes from a very experienced background.
So if you know about MG sir, and the data is publicly available, so he grew the current organization 20x. That was the size of organization, our size of us, we are slightly bigger when he joined 10 years back, and then he grew it to almost 20x the kind of revenue it is. It is again the revenue could be in public domain, but you can find it. Now, we want to learn from him, gain from his insights. And as a board member, yes, as a non-executive director, yes, he will have his own responsibilities. He will have to monitor us, how we are progressing. We will get a strategic guidance from his side. Healthcare is going to be a key vertical for us. We already have orders worth 220 crore on healthcare. One is in venture healthcare, which is Mr. Jhunjhunwala company, and the second one is this big language solution with the $10 million deal. So if we want to create some specific vertical strategy, that is where his role will also be quite instrumental. And he's more a kind of mentor and guru, so we want to learn from his experience. Rather than failing, it is better to understand how he has done it. And he has not done once, he has done thrice with HP and Infosys, with Aditya Birla Max. So all this has been a part of his transformation journey. So the idea is, who has done something and taken it to a newer height, how rather than we trying a lot and then failing and then learning and then going back, learn from that people. And that is one of the reason not only Dr. Milind Godbole, but the leadership team which we have in form of Gopi, Naveen and Murli, they are all 30 plus years of experienced people. So we all want to learn from Dr. Godbole how we can strategically expand and what all initiative we can take.
Okay, got it, sir. That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Okay, thanks, Monica.
We'll take next question from Venkata.
Hi, Venkat, please go ahead. You are on mute.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
So you are looking for, inorganic growth, right? Okay. I mean, are you looking for, product-based company or service-based companies, in the inorganic growth space?
Okay, so we are looking for both, Venkat. Am I spelling it correctly? It's Venkat, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, Venkata, actually. It's okay. Yeah. Go
No,
ahead.
Venkata, very sorry for that.
Yeah.
So Venkata, see, we have two strategies for inorganic growth. One strategy is what additional portfolio we can take it to our 150 plus customers and the customers which we are adding. So this could be, there could be a product which will fit in well with the existing ecosystem, because we don't want to diversify in five different verticals. We just want to remain in AI as a service, customer experience as a service. So if someone has built something and is not having getting traction, so we can either acquire them or partner with them, and we can take it to our existing customers. So that will give us substantial value, more in terms of PAT. So that is one strategy. The second strategy is to look at a system integrator, a services integrator, who can give us three things. One is a regional diversity. Like, we are not big in US, so can a company in US who has 40, 50 customers, can we? We are not there in Middle East. Although Middle East is slightly disturbed, but Middle East can be again come back very strongly. So we are not there in Middle East, or we have a smaller presence in Singapore and Australia. So if we have a company which can give us a scale, and then we can do reverse engineering, and we can add the CX partnership, AI partnership and all, we can easily get that 40, 50 plus customers. So that is the one thing which we are looking at in terms of regional diversification. Second is probably if that is aligning with our line of business. So like, we have the CX vertical, we have this ERP vertical, we have this unified communication infra vertical. So if one of the practices that company has which can gel well with this is definitely welcome. Now, the third thing is how strong capability they have in terms of services and delivery. Because we don't want to serve customer for the sake of serving. We want a bigger pie from them on services side. So these are the three criteria of a services organization and product, obviously. So we are looking at both. One thing at a time could be, or it can be more than one also, depending on how the strategy plans out. But we are talking to three, four companies in this regard.
Okay, that's great to hear. Okay. So another thing, right? Okay, I mean, so you mentioned, you know, the products, you know, revenue mix, right? Okay, how much it is going to be in next 3 years? Okay.
So 3 years, our target is that our IP should contribute around 15 to 20%. Since we are looking at international geography in a big way. But now we already have our IP deployed at some of the large banks and a mutual fund customer. But how to give a more AI flavor, that is where we are working on. IP is something which will definitely be our top choice, because that gives us something more stickiness with customer and a better profitability also. So 15 to 20% we are eyeing from our own product IP.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Vendita.
Yeah.
We'll take the question of Mr. Tanmay Mehta.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, Tanmay.
Yeah, like you are currently achieving 23% of your revenue from international operations, right?
This year it would be higher, Tanmay. Not this year, in the sense that March ending it would be higher.
Yeah. You have stated in the PPT that you are going to achieve 60% of your revenue from international operations. So what is the update on that?
Which PPT you mentioned? Can you, FinPortal team, can you put it? Dinesh, can you show this?
I think he's talking about the export of services, which is across 23% of in overall.
No, he's talking about 60% of revenue. So let me just look at the data. Tanmay, just allow us a minute. I just wanted to see what is mentioned.
Which slide?
Yeah, no problem.
I think it's slide number 20, page number 23 of this slide.
Actually, 60% of export services.
Let me just put that. You can put it.
I can put it.
Yeah. Tanmay, please go ahead. This is the slide you were talking about?
Yes. That was I was talking about.
Yeah. So sorry, if you can come again, what was your question?
I was asking that you are going to achieve 60% of your revenue from international operations, right?
So no, this is for current year, the year FY26. Where is 60% mentioned?
Okay, so you have already achieved 60%, right?
No. 24% has come from international geographies.
Yeah. And that's what I'm asking. Like, you are going, your target is of 60%.
Yes, 50 to 60% in next 2-3 years. That's what I mentioned.
Yeah. Okay. So what is the update on that? Like, currently, are we on track?
Okay, so Tanmay, just to answer, if you were on call, so the leadership team addition and the subsidiaries which you see we have been opening is to achieve that number. Now, how that number will be achieved, let me share a couple of points. One is US is going to be our key focus market. We already have a dozen customers in US, but we have a stronger footprint, if I say, because some of the customers like EXL, Genpact, Everest, they all are US-based customer which we are serving from India. Now they also have a mandate in current Trump region that they should buy from a US company, which is Exato.ai, which is our US subsidiary. Now with Naveen coming on board, idea is, and then we have a very senior guy called Patrick in US, he joined from Tata Communication, and then we have this global business development team led by Dinesh with 20 people. Idea is how we can do a hybrid business development, more lead generation, and how this lead can be passed on to Naveen and Patrick. Patrick to close there in US. And if that happens, we will add more people in US to execute that. Same can be the strategy for Singapore, same can be the strategy for Australia geography. Now, apart from this, we shall not be limited just for a couple of partnership. We are expanding on partnership side also. This is where Murali is going to take a lead. We are talking to another senior, another global company for a partnership, which we have call in this week. Now, apart from this, as an AI as a service, we are partnering with a very large global company who is very pioneer. I cannot name it because still under NDA. So how we can launch this AI as a service and then our own IPs. So with this, we see a significant contribution coming from international geography. We have a very good, decent number target this year also, which will come from international geography. But if you see the kind of leadership team is assembled and the kind of investment we are planning and the kind of people joining there, that will give you a confidence that what kind of bigger number we can achieve this year and also for next 2-3 years.
Okay, sir, understood. I have one more question.
Please, Navi. Please, Tanmay.
Yeah, so you have currently have a order book of 600 crore, right?
Yes.
So what is the breakup like in BFSI, healthcare, telecom? Can you provide the breakup?
Okay, so so out of this 600 crore, close to I would say 75% should be coming from BPO, KPO, and 20% would be coming from BFSI, and some 5% would be coming from other vertical. Major customers are from BPO, KPO vertical.
So you said that like your next big target would be healthcare.
So healthcare is a part of BPO. So two large customers, which I mentioned, this Inventure Healthcare Solution, it's a BPO promoted by Mr. Jhunjhunwala family, and a big language solution, it's also a BPO. Healthcare, so healthcare, so BPO also have various segmentation, but we segregate in one domain. So these are two large healthcare BPOs.
So, like 75% is including healthcare and BPO both.
Yes. Because what advantage we get with these BPO is they have some of the BPOs are very domain focused, vertical focused, but some has very diversified offerings. Both of these customers give us a varied advantage. One advantage working with focus vertical is we get to know a lot many things, and then we can build some niche skill capability. Other gives us a very diversified base, which can expand our capability also. So that's how we see this BPO vertical.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Okay, thanks, Tanmay.
Now moving towards Q&A tab, there's a question. Would like to understand how many products are our own manufactured, how many are our third-party products, any specific percentage share we have to shell out, and how does the third-party products work in our system?
Okay, so basically, let's not call it third-party product. Let's call it global partnerships. See, if you see, so what other companies do is they burn a lot to acquire customers. They invest in marketing, they invest in sales, etc., and all that. We are being profitable in terms of acquiring customers. Once we have a customer with large long-term contract, all of these customers we can go cross-sell and upsell. And that is one of the reasons that we have been establishing, and I've been repeating this again and again, AI as a service practice and a senior leadership on board. Now, that's the what is about our global OEM partnerships. Now, whatever we have learned from these partners, these companies are range over of the market. We are building Toyotas, we are building Hyundai. So there is a market for Toyota and Hyundai, and in AI domain, the thing is, in some places, we will have a level play. Like some places where customer, there could be a large customer, but then they will say that I don't need 100 features. I am happy with 30 features, which your own IP can provide. So whatever we have learned from this Range Rover, how we can build a Tata Safari and incorporate some of these features, that is what we have been doing. So we have progressed to a greater extent, but then with addition of Murali and with his experience and with his ecosystem, idea is how we can build that quickly and start making the revenue. So that's what the plan is.
Thank you so much, sir. That was the last question for the day. On the behalf of FinPortal, I would like to extend our sincere gratitude to the management team of Exato Technologies Limited for their time and the detailed response shared today. We also thank all the participants for their active engagement and thoughtful session. Now, I would like to invite Mr. Apoorva, sir, to give the closing remarks.
So thank you so much, FinPortal team, and everyone on this call, all the investors, some great questions. This also gives us a learning and probably help us to strategize. So when we go back to our boardroom, we will discuss that, okay, this is how our investors has been thinking. Having said that, there is a lot of exciting things which you will see. You have seen leadership addition, you have seen growth in revenue, you have seen growth in PAT, but something very significant, some very important initiatives we are driving, like I talked about large AI partnership, like I talked about acquisitions, all this is in play. All this is, but the thing is, we want to take it in a structured way. We want to do proper due diligence before we conclude the things for acquisition, etc. But whatever we are doing, we understand our domain, we understand our business very well. And the thing is, with a very strong team and a strong growth prospect, we are quite hopeful that this year, this current financial year, and coming year should be a stepping stone for a much bigger thing. We have aspiration of main board and we have aspiration of NASDAQ also. Having said that, yes, we also have aspiration of 500 CR, like it was asked on this call, and how soon we will get it. So trust me, we are doing all what can be done to achieve this. And I'm very grateful to all the people on this call, our investors and the extended fraternity for their continued support. And we will definitely put more hard work and smart work to achieve our goals. Thank you so much. With this, I would like to close this thing. Thank you so much.
Should any queries remain unanswered, please do not hesitate to reach out to us at the following email address given in the chat box. This concludes the today's earnings call session. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, FinPortal team. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks for your time.